Well, today's second reading is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I want to compliment my lector on an excellent job. Thank you, Mrs. Peck, for a good job on that reading. I appreciate that. I do. I have to tell you, I am very blessed by the quality of lectors we have at St. Malachy. So I guess I should give a shout out to Joe Sherman, the head of the lectors as well. Thank you, Joe. Lecturing is a beautiful ministry. Some people say, Father, are you ever afraid of talking in front of people? I say, I get up in the morning and I live to talk in front of people. Okay. Well, to understand today's gospel reading, you have to go to the book of Acts. There's a story in the book of Acts when Paul arrives for the first time in Philippia, where the Philippians live. And he arrives in this little town, which is somewhere in Greece. And he has some success, and he has a few people interested, and he starts to form a community there. When he runs in trouble with the local officials, and they decide to throw him in jail. So, he goes to jail. In this jail, it's one giant cell, and all the prisoners are in the same room. So what does Paul do? He begins to tell all the prisoners about Jesus. That's what he does, because Paul, that's what Paul lives to do. Tell people about the Lord. Night comes, so there's an earthquake. They have a lot of earthquakes in Greece, even to this day, and this earthquake shakes down one of the walls, and the door flies open. Prisoners, if they want to, can flee. The jailer, of course, he knows there's been an earthquake. He's probably woken up by the earthquake. And he realized this could go very bad for him. Because under Roman law, the jailer was personally responsible for every prisoner put under his charge. And if anyone escaped, he had to pay the fine. And if more people escaped than money he had to pay the fines, they would sell him and his family into slavery to pay the fines. That's what the Romans would do. So, he races to the jail and looks inside, and all the prisoners are there. Nobody's run. They're all sitting around Paul, and Paul's telling them about the Lord. This act so impressed that jailer that he and his entire family became believers, and Paul baptized them all. Years later, Paul travels to another city, a very large city, the third largest city in the Roman Empire at that time, Ephesus. And just like the Detroit area is known for its cars, Ephesus was known for its idol making. Most of the pagan idols in the Roman Empire were made in Ephesus. So what does Paul do? Well, he tells them that these idols mean nothing. There's no gods behind them. It's a waste of time. Use it for a paperweight. But they have no meaning. There's only one true God. This, of course, infuriates the silversmiths and all the people who make these idols. So what do? They have Paul thrown in jail. And he's going to be in that jail for 2 years. News of this arrest of Paul gets to the town in Philippi, where St. Paul had founded that Christian community. The jailer and the other members of the community are very concerned. The jailer knows all of what it's about, what it's like to be having someone in jail, organizes a collection of food and clothing and parchment and pens and ink, and sends this all down to Paul in Ephesus so that he could have enough food, be warm, and be able to write. Because that's how Paul is now communicating. And members of their community would stay in Ephesus. So if he ran low of anything, they'd bring more supplies. If letters had to be taken out, they would take it out for him. Paul is writing this letter after he's been released from Ephesus. It's a letter of thanks. It's a beautiful, beautiful letter of thanks and praise to God for the Philippian community who had opened themselves to the grace of God. And he's thanking them for it. And he's thanking God through them, and through them thanking God. Reminds me, way back, many decades ago, 4 decades ago now, I was in seminary, and my spiritual director, the late Monsignor Ricardo Bass, suggested a Lenten exercise for me, which was to think of anybody in my life for the 40 days of Lent who did something for me, was there for me, listened to me, gave me good advice, pushed me in the right direction, and then send them a thank you note. Let them know that you appreciated what they did. It was an interesting experience. I got some beautiful responses from some people, but I have to admit, one of them was an old middle school teacher who said, "Who are you?" Well, I got a hold of him on the phone, and finally he understood by the time he figured it out, but that's okay. So in this remaining weeks of Lent, think about people that God has sent to you in your life that have bucked you up when you were feeling down, or visited you when you were sick, made a meal for you when you know you could have really used one, just listened to you talk when you needed to have an ear, was there for you in some special and wonderful and beautiful way, and let them know that you appreciate it. You know, in the old days, when I was there 4 decades ago, they'd say, give them a call or a letter. Today, text them. Or whatever means you choose to use, show some appreciation. Because in showing appreciation to that, you're extending your appreciation to God, who sent that person, knowingly or not, into your life to make your life a little bit better and draw you a little bit closer to the heavenly kingdom.